We're in the book of Exodus. We're specifically Exodus 20, the chapter of. That's where the Ten Commandments are. We've been in the Ten Commandments for 14 weeks, save 2 weeks teaching of it. Are you kidding me? It says, thou shalt not steal. How long can you go on that? 3 weeks, easy, if we wanted to. Why? Because it's the Word of God. You know what the Ten Commandments actually are doing? They're not like, don't do that. They're not like that. What they're actually doing is he's setting a course for what was going on with the Israelites because they've been under Egyptian rule, law, custom, worship. And he's setting them straight. He's taking them out of the land, putting them off way far away, and giving them instruction. We're using the number about 2.5 million people in tribe. We've heard two. We've heard three. We just decided to hit it in the middle, and you can go get the count in heaven when you get there. The thing with the Ten Commandments is the way that God is showing us how to love him and how to love each other and how not to bring an offense to him, thus bringing an offense to one another. I love seeing that because when I was a kid, you know, I didn't grow up in church, but when we did go and I acted up in church, we didn't put the kids in the back so they could act. I mean, so they could go to their own Bible study course. My mom, did your mom pinch you in church? No? Am I the only one? My mom, that woman, she's like this little bitty nothing. You hug her like that and you'll go over the top of her hair, you know. She'd reach over there and she'd just pinch me a good one. And especially during the Ten Commandments. So I'm like, oh man, this is a bunch of like not good for me, right? Until I got a little bit older. And I got to thinking about this thing and I got to looking through it. And especially since we've been teaching it again, is coming through here going, wow, those guys had the blessings of the Lord going down with Joseph into Egypt, but then they got turned into slaves because they got propagated. There were too many Israelites that were there, and they're going, dude, we got to cut these guys out. There's just too many of them. You know, when Moses was stuck in that tar pitch basket and stuck in the water, you know, his name Moses means to be drawn up out of, right? So he's drawn up out of the water. He's raised by a foster mom in an Egyptian government and an Egyptian style of life, but wet nursed by his own mother. You don't think God doesn't have sovereignty? And here he is, the guy that murdered somebody, bolted to the desert, went back to talk to the Lord. The Lord brought Aaron to come and do his bidding, the Lord's bidding through Moses to Aaron, and then go through all of those trials that the Egyptians had. And we studied all of that. You can go back in each trial. We had a week per trial, a week per plague. You know those plagues, you know what those plagues were about, don't you? Those plagues were everything that they worshipped. Every god that they worshipped was developed in the plague. They would worship the god of frogs, right? You kiss a frog, what do you get? Prince. Warts on your lips. You get a prince. You lick a frog. I mean, in the 70s, I don't know what that was, but they were talking about licking frogs. I'm like, you know, I don't know about you, but every time I pick up a frog, they kind of, well, do number one in my hand. I don't want to be licking a frog. What's wrong with you people? Eat fish, you know? So they're worshiping the natural. And the Jews are seeing this, but also they're seeing the authoritative ways of our Father attacking each area that possibly these folks will come into relationship with him, but they don't. And Pharaoh's heart is hard until finally he breaks down, gives in, and they bolt out, right? And they're getting out of Egypt, and they're going to Mount Sinai. But the challenge is Mount Sinai, as we know it, down on that little point, is still in Egypt. And though it says Mount Sinai, where they are actually at is Mount Mosu, or the mountain of Moses, which is in southern Saudi Arabia, just south of Edom. So it would be in lower Edom. We just last week went on a trip to Kansas. Everybody go, woo! Right? Kansas? No, Kansas is not boring. It's beautiful. Amber waves of grain, except they're green. And you sit there and you look at all the food that comes out of that area, right? But the thing of it is, when you're driving through it, you're driving through eastern Colorado, you're driving through western Kansas, there's nothing to look at except grain and highway, right? I love that. You know why? Because we live in a world that's just going, going, going. and you're running to your job, you're taking care of your home, you're taking care of your family, you're just trying to live life, the internet's whamming you on about 100 different ways, right? And you get out there and you're stripped away from everything. And we went into a couple of little towns. We went and grave tended my grandfather's headstone because they don't take care of it and it gets overgrown there. And I had my mother with me. I had my grandson and my daughter with me and my wife with me and my nephew was with me. My grandson and nephew are about a year apart, 15 and 13, 14. And of course, they're on videos the whole way. But we get to one of the grave tendings. And boy, it becomes an emotional time. Not for me. I'm just tending graves. I mean, these are my grandparents, but I've lamented them. Somebody at my grandfather's deathbed shared Jesus with him. He gave his life to the Lord. He's in heaven. Not because of any other thing. He didn't get baptized. He didn't say X amount of things he needed to say. He didn't read the Bible cover to cover. He wasn't that man. He was the thing in Scripture where it says, you know what? In the morning, I'm going to do work with you, and I'll pay you a wage if you'll work the whole day. Well, then the guy comes in at 9 o'clock. He gets the same wage. The guy comes in at 12. He gets the same wage. And the guy that comes in at 4:30, 5 o'clock, he gets the same wage as the first guy. He goes, hey, that's not fair. He said, I dealt with you. Now I'm dealing with him, and he gets the benefit of the whole. My grandfather, my paternal grandfather, Nathan Gilson, he was one of those guys that did not work his entire life for Jesus Christ. And he came to know the Lord at the end of his life. My father and mother are both now believers in Jesus Christ towards the ends of their lives. It's a wonderful thing to see God doing that type of work. And we're going out there and everything's just stripped away. And man, my mom's all like in pieces. I'm like, Mom, what's going on? She goes, I forgot how good my father-in-law was to me. My father wasn't so good to me growing up. And she's just shaking. My grandson, he is my grandson by marriage. But he's my son at heart and mind. And he's all in pieces. I ask you, let's pray. We're at the end. We get done. We got dirt under our nails again. And we're praying, right? And he's all like, thank you for them. Without them, it wouldn't be my grandfather here. And without my grandfather here, I would have just died. You know, he's just really dramatic. But I love that about him because he has passion. You know, I hope he teaches with passion. I hope that he wants to teach something like that one day. We'll see. Only God will know. And we drive about 9 miles to another cemetery where my other grandfather was, I don't think he was in church, and then he divorced my grandma and then married another gal, and they were in the Catholic Church towards the end of his days, and we know that he was in his Bible. I don't know if he gave his life to the Lord. My hopes are such. And we go to that cemetery, and, you know, we're cleaning up, and my grandma's buried. She was a true saint for me, small s, for me. And I see my daughter and my wife up just looking at gravestones. I see that same grandson off over here. You see, his dad died 5 years ago. And he's never known his dad. I've been the dad in his life, and he's been a son in my life. And there's this mutual respect. And it's just God just strips us away to where he can do work with us. You know, I come up beside him, and, you know, I see him walking this way in these little country cemeteries in a country. I mean, you get to the edge of town, and boom, there's fields as far as you can see, wheat fields. And I kind of meet him up on this dirt road, and I just intersect with him and just hold him. I just hold him. And he's crying. He's weeping heavy. This is just last weekend, last Friday. And he's just weeping. Why? And I was like, well, son, you know, a man's days are not numbered on our ways. They're numbered by the Lord. He'll call us home as he sees fitting. And when he does, it'll be great rejoicing. But until then, I said, if I go before you, you know, I'm going to be at the gate. Not that there's a pearly gate, but just for metaphoric. At the gate with your father meeting you there. And if you go before me, I anticipate seeing you and your father. And we walk a little bit, and I talk with him. And, you know, he's 15. He's going to be 16 soon. Do you know what he still will allow me to do? You know how, Mark, you know, you have your little kids, and Zaven soon when he gets old enough. You know how they hold your hands? You know, Sarah, how they'll hold your hand? He's 16. He'll still let me hold his hands. Isn't that great? So we're walking down in the cemetery, and I just stuck my hand out. You know, I wasn't like, give me your hand, boy. It just worked right into my hand, and we just walked and talked. And I looked up, and every one of the streets have a concrete post, and it said H-O-P-E on it. And I said, what does that street say? Hope. So we put our hope in the Lord. I said, what does that street say? Hope. I said, we put our faith and hope in the Lord. What does that street say? Hope. Hope of the by and by. Hope of heaven to come, which Jesus said he would come back and get us. And it was just a great time. Well, you know, that kind of illustratively is the same as what's going on with these guys that are in Egypt. You know, they're in Egypt. They've been learning all these ways. They're jacked up. They're twisted up wrong. He's got them out in the middle of nowhere where they're whining and crying, "My God," you know, and he sees the big cloud by day to cover them from the heat and a pillar of fire by night that moves from the water over to defend them from the oncoming army that was a great army of its day. And they see all the miraculous of the Lord, blows the waters apart, dries the land in overnight, gets up the next morning, they cross over, and we know they all get tumbled under in the water. Amazing and miraculous thing. And they get out there, and they get to the point, as we saw, in, where they get to this area of bitter water, and they throw the log in, and the water makes is made pure again when the log gets thrown in. But after they left, you know, the water's still bitter in that location still to this day. The God still is in the miraculous, and they're just like, why are we out here? 2.5 million people. Why are we out here? Let's just go back to Egypt. We knew what we had. We had food. No, dude, you were slaves. You were in a house of bondage. And that's where we are. We are to the point now where they're all gathered up and Moses is up on the mountain with him. We're going to recap the Ten Commandments. We'll be out of them at the end of this day. It will be in Exodus 20. If you need a Bible, raise your hand. Guys, in the top drawer there's some Bibles there. If you got it, we'll be in the New King James Version on your phone, right? If you have a paper Bible, this is the sound it makes. If you use an electronic Bible, you have to make this sound, whoosh, whoosh, when you turn the pages. Father, we thank you for your word. You say it goes out and never comes back void, and we stand on that. We pray it in your name. Amen. We're in Exodus 20 and 1, and he says this. He says, and God spoke all of these words, saying, God spoke them. How many words did he speak? And how many is all? All that's necessary. He says, I am. That's the name that he gave Moses to tell the people when they asked who he is. He is the I am. He is the great I am. He is the Alpha and Omega. Do you know why they say that? That's the Greek alphabet. The A to the Omega. We would say, in English, we would say he is the A to Z. And everything that's good and righteous is embodied in that. I am the Lord your God. Now you need to make a note here. When he said your God, it was the first time that it was personalized. And he's talking to Moses. I am the Lord your God. Tell them that I am their God. It's a personalized thing. Exodus 20 and 1. And now 2. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. When I hear people say that they were at the Mount Sinai in what we consider currently Mount Sinai, it's inappropriate because the word says he took them out of the land. There's no way that he would take them out of the land to leave them in the land to be before him. Mount Sinai is not where it is. It's moved over about, 75 miles to the east in Saudi Arabia, Mount Mosul. That brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Now, when we see that metaphoric, we see house of bondage is house of sin. They were bound in sin, and they're coming out. I love this part of Exodus because this part of Exodus reminds me of fulfilling the Great Commission as well. How? See, the reason he's talking about, I'm the Lord your God and the one that brought you out of bondage, he's first of all developing his authority that we bow down but to him. He's spelling out his authority. He's spelling out the personalization of it. He's reminding them of the miraculous that he did in the challenges of all the environmental trials because they were worshiping the environment. And he's talking to them about having bondage. Well, you know, in the Great Commission, you guys remember that, right? It's not the great omission. It's not the great, well, I'll think about it and pray about it. It's called the Great Commission. It's in Matthew 28, 16 through 20. And there were 11 disciples and went to Galilee to the mountain of where Jesus had told them to go. So we have another mountain scene here, right? Mountain to mountain. And when they saw him, what did they do? They worshiped him. Oh, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker, right? They worshiped him, but some doubted. And then this is the deal. Jesus came to them and said, all. What does all mean? All authority in heaven in the clouds, in heaven, because it's not a capital H, in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So let me ask you, if he has all authority of in the entirety of the heavens and the authority of the earth, is there any lack of authority that he has? There is no lack of authority, right? All the heavens and all the earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make what? Cheese sandwiches, right? Go and make pizza. Go and make disciples. Disciples are those that put up disciplines. There's discipline and there's punishment, right? Discipline is the rigors that you set up. Punishment is what happens when the discipline doesn't come through. We're in the discipline point of this. Go and make disciples. Do you understand that a great commission is you are commissioned as if an army officer? You are commissioned. You have something you need to submit to. That's a military term, submit, to fall under the authority of one. You are to submit to that authority. Go and make disciples of all nations. Nations are built of people. This is not a governmental thing. This is a person-to-person thing. If he wanted animals to disciple or bring the good news to the world, he could have done it. If he wanted to ride it on the skies with the clouds or bird formations, the Lord could have done it. But he chose what? You, to go out and make disciples. Now, I don't care if you're in a Calvary Chapel. I don't care if you're in a Baptist church. I don't care if you're in where we came from, the Catholic Church. I don't care if you're in an evangelical church. In every single Bible, that Great Commission is your job, powered by the Holy Spirit. Period. End of story. And it's a wonderful job. You're never not employed. You have life insurance. Ha ha. You have life insurance. You have eternal life, right? You'll always have shoe leather. You'll always have clothes. You always have food in your stomach in the Lord's community, right? So now, if he's got all the authority by heaven and earth, and you walk in the same authority, you're not being Jesus. You're being as Jesus. And you walk in the authority ahead of time. You walk in doing this. He's not going to bring you into a situation and go, whoop, trip you and fall on your face. That's not how it's done. Therefore, go and make. He didn't say, pray about this, or would you consider this, or would you really think about, you know, how should we bring this up in one of our meetings or in the oil field there? What should we do? He said, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that cool? We get to dunk and go. It's not Dunkin' Donuts. It's dunk and go. That's what he's commanded us to do. And then watch this. Once that baptism is happening, you know what happens next? Watch what he says, and it's in every one of our Bibles. And teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Now listen, how many of you by hand have prayed, Lord, be with me? Right? You don't have to make that prayer no more. You know why? Because he's with you. You can just go, Lord, cool. Or, Lord, thanks that you're with us. You can say, Lord, be with me today, and that's more of me lining myself up with you. But he's already made that commitment, and it's there. That's the cool part. See, you need to understand why this Jewish tribe was even in existence. God wanted to have this interaction with humanity, and he used the Jewish sect. He used the Jewish nation to show that love to the entire world. But we look through the Old Testament, they're on again and they're off again. They're on again and they're off again, right? And they'll skip a generation to raise up another generation. Well, as us as believers in Christ, thus Christians, thus disciples of Christ, we're grafted in, right, because of Jesus. And guess what we get to do also? We get to share the love of the Lord with an entire world who's hurting. Isn't that the best? Dude, when was the last time you shared Jesus with somebody? And if you said, I don't know, IDK, guess what? It is time, right? It's time. Just do. Well, what if I say something? I look like a fool. Well, just to let you know, we're all kind of foolish anyway, so it's already there. You might as well just go ahead and do what he's called you to do, because he has given you a writ. He has given you the wax that is dropped on the as a seal, and he's put his signet ring in there. And these are your marching orders from him. empowered by the Holy Spirit. And so having that similitude with them, not replacement theology, just that parallel with them, that we get to be able to do the things of the Lord. I don't care if, as Paul says, that first comes the Jew and then the Greek, or the Gentile or the non-believer in the Jewish sect. First the Jew and then the Greek. I don't mind being second. Bro, second in heaven's like right there. It's like God, them, us. Boom. You know? And we're all grafted in. So, I mean, what's there to lose? Your life? Oh, yeah, right. You gain that. I love when Billy Graham said, well, before he died, he said, if anybody ever says that I died, he said, you call him a liar. I'm paraphrasing. I'm more alive now than I've ever been. I can hardly wait to see my new body. I will be, dude. I'll be, instead of, like, when I was young, I was like this, and now I'm like this. I want to get somewhere, like, you know, something, I don't know. That's all right. We'll get there. Whatever you got for me, Lord, I'll be fine with, I'm sure. Ah, where am I? Oh, so, now watch this. He's got this thing, I'm the Lord your God. I got you out of bondage. Bro, I don't want you whittling out any gods and worshiping them, right? So you pick up a stick, you grab your jackknife, you open it up, have it sharpened, and you start whittling and go, oh, this is going to help me get my next raise. Dude, it's a stick. Pick your teeth and go on, right? I mean, that's really what this is accounting to. Or you sit there and go fashion something out of a stone or a rock, and you go, and it really is cool. Maybe you made like a little dog or a chihuahua. Mary was really good at with claymation, and she really made really cool like little micro chihuahuas. And okay, oh, it's a piece of dirt with water fired under a great temperature. Oh, would you please help me with my raise? Bro, you don't have to do that. Jesus says in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one gets the Father but through who? Him. Simple dimple. Nothing more to it, right? He doesn't want you cherishing other gods. He doesn't want you fabricating things and just going, oh, that's great. Well, what do your gods look like? I don't know. Pick up your latest app. Oh, I love this mileage app. I don't have to clock anything. I'm down 46 trips. I got to plot out now because I do it for taxes, you know. Oh, I've got to, you know what? The Broncos are going to be wearing their orange uniforms fifth game in. I got to make sure and get there and... Oh, now I like football. I'm from Texas. I mean, football. I like rugby too. Rugby, lacrosse. I love anything that has contact and a live ball. You know, golf's not a live ball. It's a great sport, just doesn't have a live ball. But not at the expense of worshiping it more than God. I love my new car. Vroom, vroom. I love my new scooter. Right? Because I got a scooter. It doesn't have Harley on it. Thank you. It has Suzuki on it. Thank you even more. It's as quiet as you snoring, right? And it does 120 in the shade. So the thing is this. Yes, I can go out on a motorcycle ride in about 2 hours. I'll come back and I'll feel pretty good. But that's because I'm out in God's nature. It has nothing to do with the motor. None of this stuff. He said, I don't want you worshiping stuff before me because you're cheating on me. Y'all ever been cheated on? Don't raise your hand. I've been cheated on, and I've cheated on. And I'm going to tell you something. When somebody cheats on you, it is no good. It's just no good. Trust is out the window. And so watch this. So let's say one of your family is like, okay, son, you know, and dad, mom, daughter or whatever, and all of a sudden the son takes off or the daughter takes off and never to be seen again. You know, your heart's broken in that aspect. It's just broken, you know. Why do you want to break God's heart? Anthropomorphic, he doesn't have a heart in the sense of, but the nature, they would have said the gut instead of the heart, Jews. Why would we want to break his heart like that? Instead of just being with, why would he want to go cheat on other gods instead of being with him? Bro, did you not see that pillar of fire? That was cool, man, weenie roast, you know? It was cool, right? All right. Don't make anything carved image of any likeness in heaven above. So your stars and angels and moonshots and comets, those are cool, but don't bow down and worship them. That's inappropriate. Or that's anything in the earth or beneath. You know, don't like carve a potato into Teddy Roosevelt and worship. I was just dumb, right? Trying to be fairly random here. You shall not bow down to them or serve them. Shall not, promise, will not, promise. For I, the Lord, am a jealous God. Well, how can he be jealous? What's he jealous? That's not the term. It's desirous. He is a desirous God. He wants us to be in relationship with him. Right? That's what that boils down to. I'm a desirous God. And God visiting the iniquity upon the fathers, upon the children, to the third and fourth generation. That's your great-greats from you. For those who hate me. Because, by the way, whittling out those gods and serving them, you're saying, God, I hate you. Go ahead. Do you feel comfortable saying that right now? God, I hate you. Hurts, doesn't it? You can't even get it out your mouth. You don't even spew it out your heart. Well, then don't act like that. Let your actions be your mind and your mind on Christ. But showing mercy, which is unmerited favor, to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. Isn't that cool? You see how the love is there? Do you see the grace that's there? Do you see the mercy? Grace is unmerited favor. Mercy is not getting what you deserve. It's right there. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold harmless him guiltless who takes his name in vain. That doesn't mean to say the word GD. That's puny. Don't do it. It's still puny. Don't be using his name to brand on your debauchery, which is anything outside of the realm of him. That's kind of a brief summation. If you're using his name and you bring, if you bring his name by your actions down, you have used his name in vain. But I never said his name. It's not about the say. It's about the actions. It's following where the mind is leading the heart, not the heart leading the mind. Don't use his name in vain. Don't use it for your own desires. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you labor in all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath, the Lord your God. And if you and in it you shall do no work, nor your son, your daughter, your male servant, your female servant, your cattle, your strangers in the land, your chickens, your dogs, nothing. Nobody works, right? Within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and sea and on the and then that is in them and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord of the Sabbath, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. And it was good for this time because they were in bondage working 24/7. When I worked the oil fields, we worked 7 days a week, no days off, no vacations, no holidays. That's just how it was. You didn't work this 12 on 12 off or six 12-hour shifts. We worked 7 days a week. Sometimes I'd pull a 32-day. Go home, sleep for a couple of shifts, come back and do another one just to get the money in. I served the God that was me. Serving the created instead of the creator. This whole Sabbath thing. You know, God didn't rest from work in the sense that we say rest. His job was finished on day six. He didn't go back on day eight and start doing more creation. One through six, creation. Seven, rest. His work is still going on. He's omnipresent. That Sabbath ended with Jesus. He turned the whole Passover, and we'll do teaching on this another day, but he turned the whole Passover, he turned the whole everything upside down. He turned the lamb sacrifice, he turned it on its ear, and including the Sabbath, because Paul says in Colossians, and you'll see, that don't be all hung up on your festivals and your new moon harvests and your Sabbath. And his context of that is Jesus is our Sabbath 7 days a week. Dude, I work more hours now than I ever have, and I'm more rested than you can imagine. Because he gives me just the day to work that day. Do you understand? He's your Sabbath. Well, I take Sunday off. Well, good. We have the lights on today, so somebody's working electricity. We got Facebook running. Somebody's doing something there. These guys back there are running sound, and this fellow over here is doing worship. You had to drive a car, fill it up, and you're probably going to go eat. So, okay, Jesus is our Sabbath, 24/7. Bro, we get a Sabbath every day. Isn't that cool? Honor your father and mother. Now, some of y'all, I understand, you had mothers and fathers that were really great and sanctified and in the church and never made a mistake. Yeah, right. And then some of you had parents that really sucked, and I get that too. You know, and we have all spectrums here. But the thing is this, is the very first commandment of all these others that deal with human beings. And evidently, he had to let them know that you got to take care of those folks that came before you. And you need to honor them, and you need to be respectful to the name. Well, what if my dad was an X, Y, and Z, and my mom was an X, Y, and Z, and it was all not good? Then you still, in your name's sake, because you're, again, tied to that don't use the Lord's name in vain, you're still using his name to cover that. Because I had to respect my mom and my dad when they were not worthy of respect. And I got stories that goes from here to every one of these little squares, you can just check with a story. And I'm sure y'all do too, but you don't get to check my shirt. It's a checkerboard shirt. The deal is this. I quick story. Mom had to go to Kansas to see one of her friends. What's with Kansas? What is a house chickenette? Yeah. So anyway, snow's up to here. Just got done digging out six people, and I'm tired, and I'm at odds with my mom for about a year. And I hear, go shovel your mom's. I'm like, I'm not doing it, Lord. I'm not doing it. I'm serving a God, and it's me. Not going to do it. As I'm sticking two peanut logs in my pocket and a bottle of water in my hip pocket and driving through the snow and hand shoveling her walk out, and I didn't knock on the door. Mom, I hate that. She did this, and here I am doing this, and I'm worn out. Lord, you're just going to have to give me strength because I can't even do it for myself. I'm just doing it for you. You know, by the time I got done with that driveway, it was short order. I mean, probably the quickest I ever shoveled a driveway. And my mom opens the door. She said, you shoveled in? I said, yeah. Didn't figure you'd get to Kansas, you know. Here I am, full of unrighteous seed, just full of hate and disappointment and everything in every throw of that shovel. But the Lord took an unrighteous, filtered heart and filtered it for a righteous act because it was for him and not for anybody else. And sometimes you serve a parent that wasn't so befitting of your honor and respect in a way that's filtered through the Lord. And I'm going to tell you something. It makes things whole. Any of you that have problems with folks that are already out of your life, dead or gone, you can write a note. Write that out. Write it out. And burn it when you get done writing it. I can't tell you how many times I've done that. I cannot tell you how many times we've walked people through challenges like that. And it's hard, but let me tell you what's easy. Now listen. Now listen. Because it's always hope. Our hope is in the Lord. You know, that granddad that died, he didn't raise us as Christians. By the way, Christian, there is no sect other than Christianity. Christian is emulators of the Messiah. Christ is a Messiah, is the Messiah. Christ, Messiah, Christians following. I don't care if you're Baptist, Catholic, fill it in. We're all Christians. End of story. Because Christ is Christ. He can get us through these challenging times. And he'll make whole these things that aren't. Because I've got to tell you something. Some of these people, and that grandfather of mine that treated my mom like crap, even though I treat her like crap, she's my mom. You can't treat me. Only I get to treat my mom like that. What kind of rationale is that, Dave? You idiot. He doesn't deserve hell either. And neither does your worst enemy that you can think of nationally, governmentally, locally, family, whatever. Because let me tell you something. I don't have my wristband on, but we use 2 Peter 3:9. And you know what it says? God is not slack, as some consider slackness. But you know, he's faithful and he has a desirous heart that all would turn and come to repentance. And you know, I stand on that scripture. Why? Because it reminds me what my priest told me years ago, is that you need to draw a cross on the forehead of everybody you're in front of, bad or good. You know why? Because Christ died for them too. Don't murder. What are you doing killing people? I never killed anybody. Well, you said, I wish that guy would just die. I remember when I shoveled, I wish my mom would die. I know some of you guys that love your parents. That's all great. Okay, that's your life. Mine's like, mm-mm. I love my mom now greatly, but not then. Murder. You're murdering the heart. When you murder, you want to take somebody's life from them so you can have it over. You're coveting their position in life, their station in life. You're coveting that. He doesn't want us to do it. Don't commit adultery. It's like the whole thing with making the idols. You're cheating on God. See, all of these sins are first against the Lord. They're not against the person that you perpetrated or they perpetrated you. They're first against the Lord. And then they get the negative fruit of your sin. Right? The people that did me harm growing up, what I'm resolved and resigned to this day is if they knew Jesus, they would not have done what they'd done. And Jesus was right there. Holy Spirit was right there telling them, don't do this. Don't beat the tar out of that kid. Don't violate that kid. He did it anyway. Don't steal. Look, if you're stealing, stop it. If you're writing something and you said it was yours and it belonged to somebody else, that's plagiarism. Don't do that. If you're stealing, it's because God's not big enough for you to handle what you need to get handled. Well, I'm poor and I didn't have any food. And I went there. You know what? Don't steal. Go to the Lord. It's called fasting. I've been poor. I've been homeless. I've been without a food for many a night. And you know something? God always provides. Don't steal, right? And don't lie. Because you're lying. You lied about somebody so they could go get the job, another person get a job and make you their manager. Or you lied to have something over on them for whatever reason. Understand, all of these 9 commandments are also anchored in the 10th one. And the entirety of the 10 commandments is about coveting. You know, I hear people say, and I've said this, and I'm modifying my speech. I say, man, I really covet your prayers if you just pray for me today. I'm not going to say that anymore, because when you look up the word covet, it has an intense desire for a debaucherous nature and having things that you want that don't belong to you. That doesn't sound like prayer to me. Rather, instead of this covetous nature, I want to have a content nature. Because watch this, and this is the last. So all of that was the intro to now the message. You got another hour? I'm kidding. We're not going to go that long. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. Now, that doesn't mean just the structure. That means everything in it, around it, yada, yada. He's just got the best grass, and I got to have grass like that. Dude, he watered his grass. Water your own grass. But they've got that really great paint color. You've got paint. You just painted last year. That's 25-year paint. Chill out. Put the money in your pocket. Go pay off your debt. But I got to have a car like that. They got the best wheels on that car. Dude, really? He promised you transportation. You notice my shoes are kind of worn down a bit. But they still work. I put my feet in them. You know what I wrote on the top of them? TGIF. Do you know why I wrote that? Toes go in first.
I got the L and the R on mine.
Do you? I had 2 really good, but I'll say that for another day. He will always give you the transportation you need. You don't need to be hankering for somebody else's stuff. That's not your gear. Let it go. You know why? Because you start desiring for more and more and more and more, and all of a sudden that becomes a God to you. As opposed to, they really want what you have, which is that light of Jesus Christ. I want you to really listen in. That light of Christ. See, the folks that are going after material things, that's all they have. I listened to the suicides this week. I'm just going, okay, well, you know what? We've had a lot of suicides here too. But these here, these guys had it all. But they didn't have it all. They thought they had it all. What did they have? A whole lot of nothing. Right? Because they didn't have the word of Christ, they had the world. And the difference between the world and the word is an L. And it's either loss or love. The word has love, the world has loss. And they lost. And unless they gave their life to the Lord, on the guy that hung himself, if he gave his life to the Lord, right there as he was exhausting his last breath, guess what? He's in heaven. Because every one of these sins are forgivable. Murder is, suicide is forgivable. And if you've been taught differently, you're wrong. Because there's only one unforgivable sin, and that's blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, and that has a very specific context as well. Every one of these are forgivable. Christ didn't come and die for just those that, well, you know, just the sins that we think that aren't forgivable or not. No, he died for it all, right? He paid the total price. He doesn't want you hankering after your buddy's gear. Oh, you know what? I got that 2006 motor scooter. I got to get me a 2011 and another minivan. Yeah, man van. See, I don't have to buy my testosterone. I come with. Sorry, just saying. Don't be coveting your buddy's wife. And by the way, don't be coveting your buddy's girl. You know what? She just makes the best. My wife makes tortillas. She makes the best tortillas. Her tortillas are better than yours, you know? Her green chili is off the charts. You know, I really like the way she gardens or does her hair or the dress. Dude, you know what? You are going Davidic like that. You're going to be with Bathsheba and adulteress because you've already done it in your heart. Lay off your, but he just can work on anything. All my husband can do is fix technology, but he can build a car. Stop it. Stop. Stop. Don't be wanting after their male servant or their female servant. If you've got a business, train your people up to be excellent servants. That person trained their people up to be good servants. Let them be with them. You come back and work with the people you got. Take care of your own field. Don't be hankering after their ox or their donkey or anything that is your neighbor's. Can we get that scripture, Matthew, please? That's not Matthew. Almost up. Let me see. I've got to find a place. Okay. Hey, no one can serve two masters, right? For either he will hate one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. Can you mute V1, V2? He'll either despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Do y'all know what mammon is? Wealth. Coin. Right? Next. Okay, good. Thanks. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you'll put on. Is life not important than food and the body more important than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They don't have a 401k. They don't punch a time clock. They don't have a savings account. They don't have a safe. But they neither reap nor sail nor gather in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you more important than a bird? I mean, they got a brain that's the size of your thumbnail, right? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? Next. Thank you. So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field. Consider the dandelions. You spray weed killer on them, right? How they grow and neither toil or spin. They don't work. And yet, I say to you that even Solomon, who had all the bucks to have the finest of clothes, is not, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is today, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, he will not much more clothe you. Now, hold here. Oh, you of little faith. Can we turn that real quick? Try it this way. Have a greater faith in me than you have. You don't need your buddy's stuff. You got enough. Believe me, you got enough. Go. Therefore, don't worry saying, what am I going to eat? What am I going to wear? What am I going to drink? For after all these things, the folks that don't know the Lord seek, and your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. So, seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Next. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient the day is for its own trouble. Pretty simple, huh? Way simple, huh? I love when he shows us the lies of the world in juxtapose. That means in difference, opposition. Shows the lies of the world compared to the love of the Lord. You know, we get turmoil when we think we got to have a whole bunch of stuff. What, do we walk around like paupers? I would rather be a pauper in heaven than a wealthy man on this earth. And I'm going to tell you something, to hell with all that, because that's where it's going. There is a heaven, there's a hell, and that's it. Yeah? So, can somebody go back and tell Mary to grab a towel? I think they may be in those little, that little thing over there, but you guys figure it out. Yep. Get two of them. We're going to hold him under a while.
We didn't hold you down long enough.
Yeah, bro. Yeah, bro. We're getting rocks, man. So this is the deal. This is the deal. Let's get this back in. You know, we were talking about how things advertise at you and tell you what you think you need, and they're going to try to tell you what you think you should be and how you should go and how you should live and what's important to you. I want to appreciate you guys that are younger generation than myself, and even as much as two younger than me. Let me tell you why. I was watching a report the other day. They were talking about screens, and they were saying when you guys are reading reports, you're breezing right over the advertisements and going right to where you want to read. Keep that up. Please don't let stuff define you. Let the Lord Jesus Christ define you. His word, he says in his word that his word is even greater than his own name. Think about that. And you get to learn of his word. You remember that great commission that said make disciples of? You think? You nervous? Good. You know why? You know why you're nervous? Because you had to weigh out a decision. You had to decide, am I going to live my life for Jesus Christ, or if I'm going to live my life for the world? And that juxtapose creates a tension. I was baptized as a kid in the church. I had no say in that. You don't see them baptized like that here, anywhere in the Word. Is the reason why is the decisions are made by the Holy Spirit guiding a man and guiding a woman to come to know Him.